The following is a message from the Southern California Junior High School Conference, Fall 2009. General subject, a normal fruit-bearing life. Message 1, God's eternal purpose and the fall of man.
Amen. Amen. Well, sisters, aren't you happy that we can be together this weekend?
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
I'm wondering how many of you were here the last conference? Raise your hand. Hi. Okay. How many are here for the first time? In other words, this is your first conference, junior high conference. Okay, good. Okay, how many of you are eighth graders? How about you stand up? Eighth graders, stand up. I want to see you. Okay. Okay, good. Thank you. Okay, how about the seventh graders? How about you stand up? Wow. Okay, very good. Well, if you've been here before, you will notice that the general subject of this conference is different. Who noticed that? Did you notice? Okay, if you look at your outlines, how about we read the general subject of this weekend, okay? It's on the front page. You ready? Okay, go. A normal
fruit-bearing life.
A normal fruit-bearing life. As you know, I'm not 100% sure, but I believe that it's been over 10 years, at least 10 years, right, brothers? That we've been covering these other four conferences. Do you remember what those four conferences were? Do you remember? What is it? Okay, the first one was the crucified Christ, right? Dying for me. Then the second one was the resurrected Christ. What? Doing what? Huh? What was that? Close. The resurrected Christ living in me.
Amen.
Remember? Then the third one was the what? The ascended Christ.
Amen.
Doing what? Caring for me.
Amen.
Aren't you happy that the Lord is caring for you?
Amen.
Don't you feel that your being here this weekend is His care for you?
That's right. Yes.
This is what He's doing today.
Amen.
And then the last one, which is one of my favorites, is the coming Christ.
Amen.
Returning for who? Returning for us.
Amen.
Don't you want to see the Lord face to face?
Amen.
Amen or amen?
Amen.
Actually, what we're doing this weekend is for this one thing.
That's right.
It's to bring the Lord back.
Amen.
We don't care for anything else. We just want to see the Lord face to face.
Amen.
Well, we'll see this weekend that in order for the Lord to come back, actually, His coming back is very much related to what we're going to be covering this weekend. Okay, so the title or the subject is a normal fruit-bearing life. What does that mean? You know, a normal Christian life is a normal fruit-bearing life.
Amen.
Did you realize this? Actually, as believers, it's very normal for us to bear fruit. And we will see this weekend what it means for us to have a normal fruit-bearing life.
Amen.
Actually, I will say this. To have a normal fruit-bearing life It's not a matter of our activities or things that we do outwardly, but it's actually, is the result, is the issue of our enjoyment of Christ.
Amen.
We'll see this weekend. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, how about we read the subject or the title of message one, okay? Okay, one more time.
God's eternal purpose and the fall of man.
And actually, why don't we do this? How about let's read this title of each one of the messages, okay? So how about you go to message two, and let's read the titles or the title on message two, okay? That's on page nine. Ready? Go.
The believer's influence on the world as salt.
The believer's influence on the world as salt and light. Okay, then go to message 3 on page 16 and let's read the title.
Fruit bearing by abiding in the vine.
Fruit bearing by abiding in the vine.
Amen.
Okay, let's read the last message title, message 4. Ready? A daily
living of contacting the Lord, personally and corporately.
Okay, now let's go back to message one. Okay? And let's read the title one more time. Okay?
God's eternal purpose and the fall of man.
Sisters, God's eternal purpose. Isn't it good to start with God's eternal purpose?
Amen.
Oh, it's so good. Sister, God has a purpose.
Amen.
And we'll see what his purpose is. Let's read Roman numeral 1. Okay? Ready? Go.
God created man to be a duplication of himself, that man may have the capacity to contain and express him.
Is that right?
Amen.
That man can be a duplication of God?
Amen.
What's your name? Amy. Did you realize that you could be a duplication of God himself? What does duplication mean? Very good question. Actually, we will see. Let's read Genesis 1:26, and we will see. Okay? Okay, let's read Genesis 1:26. Ready? Go.
And God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them
okay, did you realize this is one of the most important verses in the Bible? Actually, I hope, we hope,
Amen.
That by the end of this weekend, you will memorize this verse will be within you.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so God said, let us make man, in our image, according to our likeness. Okay, let me answer your question. A duplication is just a copy. Mm-hmm. It's just a copy. Did you realize that you were created as a copy of God? What is likeness? And what is image? Actually, image is related to our inward being. Did you realize that we were created inwardly, the same as God? Likeness refers to the outward form. Actually, if you want to see God, you just have to look at man. We were created in God's image according to his likeness. Image is the inward essence of God's attributes. And actually, in our spirit, God's attributes, our inward parts are just a copy of God. Actually, you know, we were created as a vessel. And you know, the container actually must match the content. You know, if you look at that guitar case, you know, the sisters were playing guitar, right? The guitar case is a container for a guitar. So it must have the shape of a guitar, right? If I try to put Daniel in a guitar case, would that be a good match? Of course not. Sorry, Daniel. Actually, we were created as a glove. Have you seen this before? We were created in such a specific way that we were perfect to contain God himself.
Amen.
Just to contain him. Okay, so verse 26 says, in our image, according to our likeness. And then it says what? Okay, you need to highlight these words. Highlight image or underline it. Then go ahead and underline likeness. And then you need to underline the word dominion. So we were created not only to contain God and express God, but also to represent God. To express God is a matter of life, right? Is the expression of the life of God. To represent God, is a matter of authority. You know, we were created as a glove. You know, because of the enemy's rebellion, God needed a container or someone that would represent him to subdue his enemy. So we were created as a glove. Just the perfect shape. If you look at the glove, do you think this glove was created to contain my foot? It's possible. I don't think so. Not quite, right? A glove was created to what? To contain a hand. If the glove doesn't contain the hand, then the glove is useless. It's a miserable glove. Look how sad it is. However, if the glove contains the hand, what happens? It's happy. Right? There's expression. But you know, the problem that we have in the universe today is that the enemy is still here. Oh, I hate the enemy. Okay, so here we have Satan. Sorry, Joseph. Here we have Satan. Do you think Satan is afraid of a vessel that doesn't contain God? What do you think will happen if I say, Joseph? Bad Joseph. Right? But hey, what do you think will happen if I say, Joseph? Do you think his feeling will be a little bit different? Sisters, Satan, you know what he's afraid of? He's afraid of a junior high sister that contains and enjoys the Lord.
Amen.
He's afraid of this. Thank you. But the problem is that so many times, we'll see throughout this weekend, so many times man wants to be filled with so many other things. So many other things. Anyways, we'll get into this tomorrow. The glove was created to contain the hand. The same way we were created with the Spirit.
Amen.
To contain and receive.
Amen.
Actually, to receive God as Spirit and to contain Him.
Amen.
Amen or amen?
Amen.
Aren't you happy that you were created in such a way?
Amen.
That you can contain God Himself?
Amen.
What's your name?
Sarah.
Sarah? Sarah, do you realize that you're a very special person? Did you realize this? You know why? Because of what?
Because I'm
amen! That's right!
Amen.
Sorry. That's right! You have God in you.
Amen.
God Himself.
Amen.
You know, nowadays, everybody's so impressed with these people in Hollywood, all these movie stars, all these athletes. You have God in you.
Amen.
Believe me, I know. You have God in you.
Amen?
Amen? Okay, let's read Ephesians 1, 9, and 10. Ready? Go. Okay, making known to us the mystery of His will. Did you realize that this was something that was hidden in God? It was a mystery. But this mystery has been revealed to us. You see, from eternity past, God had a heart's desire. There was a desire in His heart. And according to His heart's desire, He made a will. You know, when you desire something, you make a choice for that one thing. You know, I love coming up to the mountains. So if I want to come to the mountains and that's my desire, I just make the choice. I'm going to go to the mountains. But then, according to His will, or based upon His will, God had a purpose. So you need to have a desire, you need to make the choice, and then you need to have a plan. This is God. In eternity past, He had a desire. And His desire, do you know what it was? Sarah. Did you realize this? That even before He created, you know, when I was coming up, driving here, you know, my son and my daughter, my son is going to be 6. My daughter is going to be 4. They're always so impressed. You know, we're looking at the mountains and the trees. They're so impressed. Wow. Look at the mountains. Look at the brown mountains. Did you realize, Sarah, that even before He created the mountains, the earth, the ocean, the universe, the sun, He was there in eternity past thinking, Sarah. Oh, Sarah. I love Sarah. Sarah. This was God. He was dreaming. He was dreaming of you, and He was dreaming of me. He was just there thinking, oh, actually, you know what he was dreaming about? He was dreaming about the church.
Amen.
We are the church. He was there. Oh, just dreaming. You know, many times, you know, I used to have the thought, well, yeah, God used to dream about the church, right? But I'm just a nobody. Did you realize? You know what Paul says? He said, who gave himself up for me.
Amen.
That means that even before the creation of the world, he knew your name. He knew your name, Karis, before the foundation of the world. When he was there on the cross, he was thinking about you. Your name was on his heart.
Amen.
This is his desire. Okay, so this was a mystery. This was a mystery. But this mystery has been revealed. Aren't you happy to know the mystery of human life?
Amen.
You know, today everybody's looking for this. They want to know, what is the purpose? What are we doing here? Some are here because their purpose in life is to save whales or the trees. No, we're here to gain God.
Amen.
That's what we're here, and to express God.
Amen.
This mystery has been revealed to us. Amen?
Amen?
This is God's intention. This is his desire. Okay, let's go to Romans 9:23. Ready? Go. Upon what? Vessels. Vessels of mercy. Did you realize that you're a vessel? Actually, if you consider, you know, in 2 Corinthians 4:7, he says what? But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Did you realize that you have a treasure within you? Oh, brothers, I don't think they appreciate the treasure within them. Let me ask you again. Did you realize that you have a treasure within you?
Amen.
Do you? Amen or amen?
Amen.
Do you realize that you're the richest person in the whole planet? You have a treasure within you.
Amen.
Don't be too impressed with the outward things. The outward things are nothing. They're nothing. They're here today. Tomorrow, they're gone. You know, I work in the field of finances. I can tell you, last year, just like this, riches, boom, disappear. Almost overnight. I tell you, but the treasure that we have within us,
right.
Will be for eternity.
Amen.
Sisters, there is nothing higher in this universe than to be a sister who gains God. This is the highest profession in the whole universe.
Right.
To enjoy, to receive, to enjoy the Lord. There's nothing higher. Nothing higher. Amen?
Amen.
So God's intention is for us to what? To receive Him, to contain Him, so that we can express Him. But because of the fall of man, everything, the whole situation changed. You know, when God created man, He put man in front of the tree of life. And God's intention was for man to partake of the tree of life so that he could receive God, contain God, and express God. Right. You know, right before the meeting, right before I started speaking, I was just fellowshipping a little bit with Brother Daniel. And we were impressed. You know what God told man when he created him? He said, be fruitful and multiply. This was God's intention. He told this to man before even man fell. His intention was for man to contain him and to fill the whole earth with man expressing God.
Amen.
Do you think God's intention is different today? Because of the fall of man, the whole situation changed completely. So as we know, man partook of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and something terrible happened. Man fell. Okay, let's read Romans 5:12. Ready? Go. So if you're a human being, sorry to say, you're a sinner. The entire human race was polluted. And the situation became dark. Actually, you consider the situation today, it gets darker and darker and darker. It's just dark. I was telling the brothers, you know, one of the characteristics of someone who is in darkness is that they themselves don't know that they're in darkness. Because they can't see. They can't see. You must realize, in school, your friends who are not believers, they're in darkness. They're in darkness. Okay, I'm going to give you 8 points. And this was the result of the fall of man. The situation was terrible. God wanted to be one with man, but Satan injected himself into man.
Right.
Actually, he became one with man.
Right.
So now you have man, who was created by God, with the purpose of containing God. Now God cannot be one with man because Satan already became one with man. Isn't this terrible? So what happened? Okay, number one, man fell under God's condemnation. You know, to be judged by God, you know, before the creation, actually, during the pre-Adamic age, you consider, if you read there in Genesis, he says what? Because that age, because of the rebellion of Satan, that age was judged by God. And the result of that judgment was that the whole earth was dark, was void. But then God, actually Genesis, if you read there, is actually a recreation, right? But after Satan came in and became one with man, the whole situation became dark. Okay, so man fell under God's condemnation. That was the first result. Two, he became estranged and alienated from the life of God. The way to the tree of life was closed. Now man didn't have access to God. Man couldn't fulfill the requirements of God. Okay, three. This is terrible. Listen to this. Sisters, listen to this. Satan's thought, feeling, and his will were injected into man. Imagine that. The mind of man became the mind of Satan. The feeling of man became one with the feeling of Satan. And the will of man became one with the will of Satan. So man became one with Satan. Okay, you were created in a way, in a very special way, right? Your inner being, you have your mind, you have your emotion, and you have your will. You were created with the mind to understand the things of God. You were created with what? With emotions to love God. Amen. And you were created with the will to choose God. Amen. But man, his mind, his emotions, his feelings, his will was one with Satan. Just terrible. Okay, four. Man became flesh. Man became flesh. Okay, five. This is terrible. The spirit of man was deadened, losing its function towards God. Six, man became the victim of death. You cannot separate sin and death because the issue of sin is death. That's the issue of sin, death. So man became a victim of death. Okay. Seven. Man became spoiled from fulfilling God's purpose. Okay, and eight, even the creation. Creation is subject to vanity and the slavery of corruption. Even creation is a slave to the decay of corruption. Don't you think that the situation or the result of the fall of man was very dark? Was very pitiful? Okay, let's read Romans 8:21. Ready? Go.
In hope that the creation itself will also be free from the slavery of corruption.
Okay, Romans 7:17 and 18a.
Now then, it is no longer I that work it out, but sin that dwells in me.
Okay, that what? Sin that dwells in me. Sin that dwells in me. Actually, the word dwell there is actually means that sin makes his home. That's his dwelling place. Okay, let's keep going. For
I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells.
Sisters, nothing means nothing. Nothing means nothing. Okay, let's read Ephesians 5:8.
For you were once darkness, but are now light in the Lord. Walk as children of light.
Okay, sisters, for you were once darkness. Actually, the situation of men today, not only man is in darkness, but actually man is so one with Satan that they are darkness themselves. That's what the word says. What is the source of darkness? It's Satan himself. And man, is not only in darkness, but man actually is darkness itself. This is the situation today. Isn't this our experience, that when we are not enjoying the Lord, everything is not too clear? We start wondering, what are we doing on a Friday night or on a Saturday night, sitting around just singing? Have you ever felt this way? Oh, I don't want to go to the meeting. What for? I'm just going to sit there and we're going to sing. And then one of the brothers is going to stand up. And he's going to speak a boring, boring message. And I don't understand anyway. Don't you feel this way sometimes? When you're not enjoying the Lord, it's very easy to be in darkness. But when you enjoy the Lord,
amen,
you know what happens? You're in your spirit,
amen,
and everything is so bright.
Amen.
Everything is so clear. All the bugs go away. You know, I tell you a story. Some of you heard this story before. You know, and I think it's okay. Okay. You know, in 2000, I went to the Philippines. You heard this story before, right? Okay. You know, I went to the Philippines. And, you know, Sister Elna, she's originally from the Philippines. And Shiloh, you know, I went to her house to visit. When I went with the brothers there to the Philippines, Zamboanga, right? You know, I was in Zamboanga, which is in the southern part of the Philippines. And you know, the Philippines, when I went, it was really hot. It was really hot and humid. And you know, we were going to go to a young people's conference in another city in the north. I think it was in Iligan. Yeah, Iligan. And, you know, just to go from Zamboanga to Iligan, you know, actually, for me to get all the way down to Zamboanga, I traveled close to 12 hours. It was quite long. To go back, we had to take a boat. And we took a boat overnight. And, you know, the way that they were doing it at that time, you know, basically you pay your ticket, and you get in this huge, I mean, it was big. It was really large. You pay and basically you go in and you find a bunk bed. And then you just sleep. And, you know, everybody's on the top. And the brothers, because they were a little bit concerned about, you know, we were tired. And they got us this cabin, right? So when they told us that, I was so happy. Okay, I get to sleep. Good. So I walk in this cabin, and it was actually not that big. I mean, you know, you have four bunks, and the, you know, between beds, it was maybe like this much. And then I noticed that the window was actually not that big, and it was really hot. It was so hot. Imagine that you get dressed, and you get under the shower. You get wet, it was that hot. I mean, you were... Anyways, I don't want to get too graphic here. You get the point, it was really hot. Okay, so you know what I did is I went to sleep. You know, I didn't have my long shirt or anything like that, so I'm sleeping. And I turned on the light. And our brothers were fellowshipping on somewhere else. And I was there by myself. And suddenly, I just hear this. I said, that's interesting. And then I heard something else, a little bit louder and closer. And I'm thinking, okay, this is not good. So I'm telling myself, should I turn on the light and jump out the window? Or should I stay in the room and pretend that I'm not hearing anything? And then not only I heard more things, but then I started feeling things. Okay, when I turned on the light, you know what happened? There were roaches all over the place. Imagine that. You're sleeping and you have roaches. Did you imagine that? You're home and you turn on the light and then you have roaches in your hair, inside your shirt, just running around. You're going to put on your shoes and then roaches come out. And you're sweaty and sticky. Okay, you know what? This is my point. When you're not in your spirit, it is as if you had the light off. There's all kinds of bugs, all kinds of bugs. But when the light comes, actually, you know, I turn on the light, and I went to sleep like a baby. I was so happy. No more bugs. They're afraid of the light. So when you turn to your spirit, you turn on the switch.
Amen.
And then there's light.
Amen.
And everything's so clear.
Amen.
No bugs. Do you like bugs? You like bugs? So what do you need to do? When you're feeling kind of yucky, what do you do? What did we do before the meeting? Don't be afraid. We just call on the Lord.
Amen.
Lord Jesus!
Amen.
And everything becomes so bright.
Amen.
So crystal clear.
Amen.
There's no confusion. You can never argue with light. Before the meeting, you might feel, oh no, I don't want to go to the meeting. What for? I tell you, you enjoy the Lord? Everything is so clear. Your feeling will be, I must be in the meeting.
Amen.
If I'm not in the meeting, what am I doing?
Right.
I'm just wasting my time if I'm not in the meeting. Sister, don't ever miss a meeting. Even if you feel yucky, go to the meeting. Because even, I can guarantee you come to the meeting, you're going to find light.
Amen.
Isn't this our experience? Sometimes we feel yucky. We go to the meeting. You know, we come to the meeting and you sit there. You're like, I am not going to call on the Lord. I don't care how many times Joseph tells me to call on the Lord. I'm just not going to call on the Lord. You know, we see this many times. But then at the end of the meeting, you come out. Hallelujah.
Amen.
What happened? I tell you, light happened.
Amen.
You touch your spirit. And you become a being of light.
Amen.
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 Okay, let's read point A. Ready? Go. Okay, point B. See?
After man knew good and evil, he became independent from that day onward. The root of sin is independence.
Okay, so that's the situation of man today. It's corrupted. contaminated, fallen, filled with sin, possessed by Satan, and every part of his being is full of darkness. Not only that, man is independent. You know, today, that's the thing. If you're a young person and you're not independent, you're not cool. That is a trend today. Actually, the ones that have this thought are the ones who are in darkness. So that's the situation of man today. Well, praise the Lord did not give up on man.
Amen.
He did not give up on his purpose,
right,
on his desire. Amen.
Amen?
God still wants to be one with man.
Amen.
He still wants to gain man.
Amen.
He still wants to be expressed through man.
Amen.
This is his desire today. So what did he do to accomplish his purpose? Let's read point three. Ready? Go.
God became a man.
God what?
Became a man.
God became a man.
Amen.
God himself, the triune God, became a man.
Amen.
Just like you and me.
Amen.
He became a man. Actually, he loved man so much that he became man. Okay, what else? He accomplished redemption. Sisters, aren't you happy for redemption?
Amen.
Oh, let me ask you again. Aren't you happy for redemption?
Amen.
Aren't you happy that we don't have to be in that pitiful situation?
Amen.
That we have been redeemed?
Amen.
That we don't have to be in darkness?
Amen.
Or be darkness?
Right.
Oh, I appreciate redemption so much.
Amen.
I hope that our appreciation for the Lord's death will always be so fresh within us. His redemption is marvelous. Okay, and then what happened? And became... He became the life-giving Spirit.
Amen.
Now he can be one with you.
Amen.
To enter into us as our life and everything. Sisters, he's not only your life, but he's your everything.
Amen.
He's the I Am. Whatever you need, he is. Amen or amen?
Amen.
Okay, let's read Matthew 4:16.
The people sitting in darkness have seen a great light, and to those sitting in the region and shadow of death, to them light has risen.
You know, the Lord came as a man, and he had a perfect human living. But as a man, he was light itself. God is light. God is light. He was there as a great light. No wonder everybody that had contact with him. So many, they would just touch him, full of light. Just full of light. You know, so many, you know, young people, so many saints among us are just like this. They enjoy the Lord. They have been constituted with the Lord. You touch them, and you just touch light. You just touch light. I was telling the brothers before the meeting, a few years ago, I was considering a certain matter, and I was having some fellowship with some of the brothers. And I met with one of the brothers. And you know, at the end of that fellowship, this brother never told me what to do. But I left And I was so clear of what I needed to do.
Amen.
Why? Because this one was full of light.
Amen.
Didn't have to say much. Didn't have to say much. The Lord wants to reproduce Himself in us.
Amen.
He wants us to be a duplication of Himself.
Right.
He is light. If we read there, Ephesians 5:8 again. You see, the first part of this verse says, you were once darkness, but you are now what?
Light.
You are now light.
Amen.
That means that, okay, if you were in darkness, here it says, not only were you were in darkness, actually says you were darkness.
Right.
But here it also says, it doesn't say that you were, that you are in light. It says that you are light.
Amen.
How can you be light? The only way you can be light is by becoming one with the light.
Right.
By becoming one with God,
right,
who is light. Okay, let's read John 17. So sisters, we are here in the world. We are in the world, but we are not of this world, right? We are here as those who enjoy the Lord, who are being constituted with Him as light, so that we can express Him, so that others can see, right? If we have this kind of a living, you'll see, we'll see tomorrow morning. Tomorrow night and Lord's Day morning, if we are this kind of a person, you see, tomorrow morning we're going to see what we are as believers and the influence that we have on others as believers. If we have this kind of a living, eventually, we're going to be beings of light,
right,
expressing God. This is God's intention.
Amen.
You know how the Bible ends? The Bible ends with the city of light.
Amen.
This is God's intention. Amen?
Amen.
Don't you want to be this kind of a person?
Amen.
Amen or amen?
Amen.
Amen or amen?
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Okay. I'll stop here.